You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Spurs fans around the world, it's Theo Delaney saying welcome to another Spurs show live from the Albany in London's glamorous West End. Yay! In this strange, strange time for Tottenham Hotspur, I have got two strange... No, they're not strange. I've got two esteemed guests here to help me pick the bones out of two recent fixtures and to look ahead. On my left, welcome back, Jerry Cox.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Theo.
Good to see you, Jerry. And on my right, welcome back, Matthew Hamilton.
Hi, Theo. Good to be back. Thank you.
Good to see you both. It is a strange time. There is a lot of discontent around. And yet, we are fifth in the table. We're not that far off the top four. Since we last recorded a show, the team's played twice. And there was a golden time. After 45 minutes at the Etihad, when we were winning 2-0, went in at half time, and we were all basking in this sudden dose of glory. And then it all went tits up, didn't it? And somehow, I don't think many of us here were that surprised when it happened. Jerry, what did you make of that Man City game?
Well, I said at half time to a friend of mine, 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline, especially when it's Spurs. We all remember the 3-0 with Man United, I think, don't we, back in the day. 2-0 up against Man City when they were reduced to 10 men. Joey Barton sent off. 3-0 up. Still managed to lose that one. So having a lead against a team from Manchester means next to nothing. And, you know, it was sort of predictable. And that's Tottenham this season, isn't it? They can't put two 45 minutes together. They can't put two games two performances together. The inconsistency has been probably the worst part of the whole season, really. It's just not knowing what team's going to turn up from one half to another, from one game to another. You know, and it's why, anecdotally, you talk to your mates, people aren't that bothered about going to Spurs anymore. They're losing interest, you know, because you just don't know what you're going to see.
But it's unlikely to be entertaining. We know that.
That's
trouble, isn't it?
You know, and I go back to the golden era. Maybe the last great, great time for being a Spurs fan was the last season at White Hart Lane when you knew you were going to turn up, you were going to see a great game, and most times you're going to see Spurs win. And that was that was a time that, you know, for the older generation of Spurs fans who'd been through a lot of ups and downs and bleak years and little flashes of good, consistent, entertaining football, that season was the sort of culmination of, yes, we are back. This is Tottenham playing great football. People want to come and see us. You know, not just Tottenham fans. People want to come and see them because they're the great entertainers. And you're most likely going to see Spurs win. And that was, you know, that should have been the point where we moved on, pushed on. And unfortunately, it was sort of, that was the high water mark, really, wasn't it?
It was, and we didn't. Obviously, you never know when you're at the high water mark until afterwards, when the water mark has gone back down again. But that, I mean, in that City game, we're 2-0 up. They come out, they score three goals, and we're thinking, Christ, they could get a hatful here. But actually, Spurs didn't play too bad second half and hit the woodwork, made a few chances, and actually looked like they might actually come away with a point. For a little while, I felt in that second half, looked like the more likely team to score at 2-3. And of course, City got a late one on the break, which can happen. So,
And Perisic, you know, should have scored. If that had gone in, it could have been different.
Precisely. But it is so inconsistent. I mean, the thing about Conte, we thought, was that he turns teams into machines, and they work a certain way. And the one thing you do get is consistency. But what do you put this kind of terrible unpredictability and very often drab football down to? Do you think is it him to blame, or has he not been backed, or have players, you know, lost form? Because that can happen. Nobody predicts that or wants that. What do you think?
I was so excited about him, but now I am kind of feeling he is to blame. You know, and I think a lot of it also is down to the uncertainty of whether he's going to stay. And I understand that some of these guys, it's similar to Mourinho, where they play a kind of political game with the chairman, and they always, you know, want to seem like they're in control and, sort of almost preempting being sacked or something. But, you know, it just must spread throughout the club, this. And, you know, I don't know, the kind of sulking and the sort of, oh, am I staying? Am I going? Have I got enough? And I think, God, you're paid 15 million quid to be here for two miserable years, you know. And what a big difference it would make if he just stopped that. And I think actually on skipping ahead, but on Monday night, I don't know, someone must have had a word, I think, because he said, oh, I'm proud to be manager of Tottenham. Yeah. And of course, there was that report on Sunday that he was almost certainly going to leave at the end of the season, which he then backtracked on.
Yeah.
So, but I think that, you know, just that uncertainty, you know, and also maybe just, you know, because he is sort of fun and glamorous and exciting and, you know, we love the way he runs up and down the pitch, but actually maybe he's always been boring. Maybe that's the,
Yeah, I mean, I grew to really hate Mourinho quickly, but maybe I didn't like him in the first place. That was the thing. But the only difference I would say between Conte and Mourinho is that Mourinho absolutely blamed the players all the time, directly blamed them. And although Conte hints that he hasn't got the quality in the squad, which you can't really argue with, at least he doesn't come out and sort of, you know, pin it directly on the players. What did you think about Fulham? Do you think that was an improved performance, Jerry? Because, I mean, as a performance, was it much better than City?
Possibly not much better over 90 minutes in terms of what they did, but they didn't get punished like they did at City, if you like. But what was... I mean, it was a clean sheet. It was a win. It was... There was a little bit of the old Tottenham from last season under Conte there. So that was good. It was definitely a step up from the previous two. Don't even go to the one before that. And I thought, I mean, in a way, this is sums up Tottenham in completely this season. The inconsistency boils down to us lot. I mean, I am up and down in my views about Conte and whether he should stay, whether he should go. Is it him? Is it the board? Is it the players? Is it the squad? You watch that interview again on the Monday night thing, and you think, and Harry Kane talking about it, and the players having a meeting, you know. I mean, I'm a journalist, I've been around 30-odd years covering lots of clubs, and there is always that phase in a season when a team is struggling and it just seems to be going wrong. They have a sit-down, the players have a sit-down, and they talk about it, and often it's a turning point. You know, it picks up from there. And you sort of hope that is a turning point. But as I say, he came out, he was very positive, and maybe it's to address these issues, but... You know, you never... It's very hard. I sit in press conferences with him and it's very hard to read exactly what's going on there. You know, I know Spurs aren't a club that communicate from the top down very well. You know, I think that's an understatement. But it's always been hard. It's always been hard to sort of quite get to the bottom of what's going on because managers are cryptic and so on. But I don't think it's ever been harder to actually work out, is he walking away? Do they want him out? I think we know Poch is absolutely waiting in the wings. I mean, desperate to get back there. He'd love to be back there. So, but literally, not a clue. Not a clue. You know, I mean, yeah. I was talking to a pal today, and I said, I'm going on the Spurs show, and I you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, I might.
Yeah.
People might think because I, you know, I cover the club and
well,
I'm,
I was
I'm
ask,
a journalist.
Actually, I must say, I'm quite disappointed.
Well, I have to say, I'm a failure because you know, it's very hard to read,
yeah.
and it sort of seems to change almost from one game to the next, from one day to another. You know, you read people, you talk to people who seem to know what's going on, and you know, nothing would surprise me. What how it plays out between now and next summer, we could have Conte as manager, we could have Pochettino back, we could have someone else, we could have Thomas Tuchel, we could have someone out of left field.
Yeah.
Harry Kane could be there, Harry Kane could sign a new contract, he could go. You know, there could be an influx of players, the club could be sold.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said I thought Tottenham would be sold this year. This 2023, I think, is a year.
Really? Why did you think that?
I think because their long-term plan was to have the stadium, a world-class stadium, a world-class facility, and be in the Champions League challenging for honours. That would be the time to sell the club. And I think because they only just made it back into the Champions League last year, everything else is in place, and you've got, you know, come last summer you had Kane and Son, certainly two world-class players at the top of their game. And I thought when that extra money was made available by Joe Lewis, I thought that's a sign they're just going to put the squad together to make sure they're in the Champions League for another year, and that'd be the time to sell. And yeah, you know, they're clearly having conversations, but
yes,
Champions League football is absolutely central to it. And with Newcastle coming into the fray, as well as, you know, the big money that's around, you know, Spurs are in danger of just sort of dropping into the fifth, sixth. You know, realistically, they're probably about where they should be.
Yeah.
You know, I thought Gary Neville's comments, I don't know if you watched it on Monday
Night
Football.
Yeah, I thought he made
I thought he actually sort of brought a dose of reality. Because,
yeah,
you know, as fans, you read social media, and you read people who know the club, and you listen to your mates and so on, and you can get really gloomy about it. Mm. And Neville actually said, you know, Spurs aren't in a terrible place, and they're halfway through the season, long way to go. Last season, they picked up tremendously second half. Fitness and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're about where they should be.
Yeah.
With a chance of having a really good season. So, you know, amidst all the gloom and doom, there is that to hang on to, you know.
Yeah.
And it is a bit bizarre because we're just about to go into February, but we are just about halfway into the season because of the World Cup and everything else. So there's a long way to go, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's look to the future in a moment. But first, we'll take a very quick break.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Just to say before we carry on that... our monthly live shows, as we can see, we've got a great turnout here tonight. We're up and running. We've got Neil Ruddock next time, by the way, lads. We've got Jerry Armstrong here in the room. He'll be joining us a bit later for a special. So we're pleased about that. For other premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews and original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs show and support our show in the process. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and please leave us a nice review. Next week, we're joined, by the way, by Steve Perriman and Julie Welch, who'll be talking about their fantastic book, 81. I'm sure you've all got that one. What a book that is. Beautiful, about the 81 Cup run. Anyway, we said we'd look to the future. You know, we Yeah, what Gary Neville said I thought was good. I mean, the trouble with us all, let's be honest, we do feel we're entitled. We're an entitled bunch. We expect to be in the top four. We expect to be challenging for honours. And at the end of the day, there are other very big clubs with lots of money, some of them much more money, that we're up against. One trophy, obviously, in 22, 23 years, whatever it is a piss-poor return. But at the same time, we don't have any God-given right to win. But we could. We could win a trophy this year. We're still in the FA Cup. We're still in the Champions League. We still could get in the top four. How pessimistic are you, Matthew, about that?
I'm reasonably optimistic. I found a lot of the kind of fan reaction, including myself, bordering on hysterical, actually, in the last 3 weeks. And I mean, I was at Palace away, and we were 4-0 up, and everyone was chanting Levy out. And
yeah.
Sort of, I thought, I mean, I know there are problems, and it probably is time for him to go. But, you know, and I think there was another podcast that said that the Spurs were a basket case. And I just thought, God, you know, look at compare us to Liverpool, Chelsea, yet alone Everton.
Absolutely,
you know,
or West Ham.
And Everton used to be a club very much similar to us in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. In very comparable in terms of size and achievements.
But again, I agree. It's a confusing time because, I mean, in a month's time, it could look, the whole season could be looking amazing.
Or it could be over.
Or it could be over.
Yeah. I mean,
that is the joy. So, no, and I definitely think we've got more highs and lows, the unpredictable. Well, in a way, our football is almost so predictable that teams are finding it easy to beat us, but, you know.
Well, let's talk about the transfer window, because that could make a big difference. We've signed this fellow, Dan Juma.
Yeah.
Do you rate him, Jerry?
Well, you know, he apparently spent 2 years in England, and I don't recall much about him, to be honest. Yeah. 2 years at Bournemouth, but his stats are good.
Yeah,
you have to say his stats are good.
And he plays well in the Champions League.
Plays well in the Champions League, big game player and all that. I remember, I think it was about this time last year I was on the show.
Yeah.
Just after they'd signed Kulusevski and Bentancur.
Didn't know who they were.
And I was asked, what do you think of them? And I said, well, I think they're going to fit really well at Spurs because I'd just seen them play for Juventus getting spanked 4-0 at Chelsea. So they'll fit really well. Yeah. And actually, they fitted brilliantly.
Yeah.
I mean, they have been two inspired signings. So you can't argue with that. That has been superb. If this fellow and Porro, we expect we're going to see Pedro Porro quite soon, I think.
Do you think that one will happen?
I think that's going to happen.
It's getting closer, isn't it?
It's getting closer, but you keep seeing these deals being hijacked, you know, and all that.
We could still get gazumped by Chelsea.
I think they're that close on that one. That should happen. And he's good. He is good. You know, I mean, I was in Lisbon when he, you know, played a big part in our downfall in that one.
Right.
So I think, you know, what you'd have to say is there's a backup forward and there's a top quality right wing back.
Mm.
And they're signing them now in the end of the January window. We all knew back in the summer what we needed was backup forwards and
top quality right wing back. Yeah.
You know, it's almost like a wasted first half of the season, isn't it?
Because,
you know, maybe they didn't spot that then, or maybe the players weren't available. But, you know, everyone tells you that the best time to sign players is the summer, not January.
Yeah.
Why have they waited that long to address two positions that you knew?
It's funny with Porro, he's almost emerged in the months since the summer, hasn't he? Because he was at Man City, wasn't he? And he never got, couldn't find a way through at Man City.
But I don't think he played a first team game, but he certainly looks good at Lisbon, you know, from what I've seen, limited views. But, I mean, he does look like a top class player. And we knew that, you know, we knew that Emerson, well, I call him Mr. Haphazard. You know, he surprises you. The last couple of games, he's actually played well.
Yeah. I've come to quite like him.
Yeah.
Well, you can't help but like him because one thing's for sure, he gives it everything.
So you don't quite know what you're going to get with him.
No. He just can't. But I think, he's just not an attacker, is he? Yeah. He's not a good
attacker. But he cares, though, at least, doesn't he?
He cares enormously.
And apparently, they all had a day off yesterday and only Emerson was at the training ground.
Yeah, I mean, I
and the 800 cannot... grand with the oxygen tank and, you know.
You can't fault him for attitude. Yeah. You cannot fault him.
So, I don't know. I mean, let's hope, you know, that those two will make the difference.
Yeah.
Just to give them a bit of oomph, you know, because you know, what is predictable, as Matt said, is the football's been pretty ordinary, isn't it? To be generous, it's been fairly ordinary most of the season. There's nothing. Yeah. There's no spark, is there, most of the
Fulham,
season.
The Fulham game, great result, especially in the circumstances. You know, they've been on really good
Fulham
form.
Fulham are good, yeah.
They
Fulham
beat Chelsea on that ground just about, you know, 10 days before or whatever it was. So you go there and you win. That is a good result, whoever you are. Anyone going there and winning is good. But I was quite pleased. Obviously, I said something on Twitter and Lloyd Cole, the popular singer-songwriter, said, yeah, that's all very well, but it was a terrible game for the neutrals, which, of course, you're not a neutral. You don't really... And I thought, God, yeah, it must have been awful. One goal, you know, Spurs basically sort of stodged it up quite effectively in the second half. It was a good away performance, wasn't it? But it was, even that, even though we won, actually, once he'd said that, I thought, yeah, that wasn't great. That wasn't a great watch, as they say nowadays.
And as I say, the contrast with when you go back to that, you know, the peak Pochettino era. I know journalists who from the north, from Manchester, from Liverpool. You'd see them at White Hart Lane on a Saturday. Say, "What are you doing here?" And they say, "Well, this is the best game of the day. This is the one I requested. I want to come see Spurs." Yeah, you know, Tottenham were the neutrals' favourites back then. You know, not now.
No. But that, you know, we've been here before. I mean, you and I, Jerry and Matthew, we've been watching these ups and downs since the 70s. That's the funny thing. When things are bad, you just think that they're going to be bad forever. And when things are good, you think they're going to be good forever. I mean, if you remember Jerry Francis's football, absolutely diabolical. George Graham, absolutely awful, you know. And now we're looking at Villas Boas, actually, after a while became quite difficult to watch. Yeah. And every single time we went, oh, we used to be so good, now we're shit again. And then Pochettino turns up, plays great football. We've got a brilliant team. And you get into your mind that this is the Tottenham way. We've always been like this. We're synonymous with this football, but you forget. So, I mean, it can change, can't it? And even Conte, when he's got, I think, maybe I'm totally deluded, but when he's got the right wing backs, that's when that system works and can even be good to watch. I mean, we often talk about the lack of players in midfield. The reason for that is that he's got three at the back and two wing backs, so we get outnumbered in midfield. But if those wing backs are really good, if we had Rose and Walker, for example, at their best, then teams are so having to cope with that, the sheer fear of dealing with those two coming up with three really potent forwards, that the two in midfield is less important. Midfield is less of a factor, isn't it? So if he gets Porro, I mean, you know, he could even get... Well, we're waiting on this Italian wing-back for the summer, aren't we, that we're getting from...
New doggy.
So I'm assuming that's why they're not in for a left wing-back, is because it would be mad... We'd end up with loads of left. We've already got loads of wing backs. Yeah. Just none of them any cop. The only reason we're convinced he's brilliant is we never see him play, which is Spence.
Well, I think he's going on loan. I think that'll happen, and I think that's probably the best thing.
Best for everyone.
He's clearly not a Conte player, and
God knows why though. He seems to have all the attributes that Conte's after, but he's going to get them from Porro, isn't he? I guess. Mm. Yeah. Well. It's tough. It's tough times. It's tough times. But, I mean, I don't know what everyone thinks here. Who here would rather see the back of Levy than the back of Conte? Just as a show of hands. Yeah, so it's about... And then who would rather see the back of Conte than the back of Levy? So, yeah, there's a clear majority.
Can't choose.
Some people can't. There's a few abstainers.
What about both?
Some people have put both hands up. No, there was though a clear majority would rather see the end of Levy than the end of Conte, and that actually, of course, that was reflected in that singing, which was so audible. It must be so weird being Levy listening to that, because I think sometimes he must think, "I've done my best." At Fulham. It was the youngsters singing it. Mm. But there's no youngsters here, and this is the same result. Well, we should probably move on because we've got this. We've got Jerry Armstrong coming on, which I'm really excited about. Yeah. But I do need to... Let's very quickly talk about Preston away in the FA Cup. Could be our year in the Cup. There's no one in the year, but that went by the wayside some time ago. Matthew, do you think we can get through there?
I do. I mean... their form's even more inconsistent than ours. I mean, I think they've lost like half their games this season. So they're I mean, they're a mid-table side. I don't know that much about them other than that. I just hope that Conte puts out just like pretty much the same team. Maybe you'd give Lloris a break.
But other than that, just
play the same team again.
We haven't got a game next midweek, have we?
No.
So there's really no reason not to play a strong side there, is there?
No, and I think he's shown he's taken all the cups seriously, isn't he? So you would expect him to put out, if not full strength, you know, pretty much first team as much as he can.
Yeah.
Because there's a route to a trophy there.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And do you see us getting through there, Jerry? I'd like a score prediction.
It's a classic Spurs slip up, isn't it? Banana skin. I'd love to see us get through. And if they can do what they did against Fulham, professional performance, they should get through.
Yeah. I'm going to have to press you for a score prediction.
Oh, go on then. 1-0, literally.
1-0?
Yeah.
2-0.
2-0. 2-1, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Just got something different. So we've absolutely
covered all bases. Yeah.
We've cursed it now. Well, Jerry and Matthew, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. And for now, everyone, thanks for coming along. We've got Jerry Armstrong coming up in a bit. For now, thank you very much. And Spurs fans around the world, all that remains for me to say is, cow you Spurs!
Yay!
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.